This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, joining us right now from WTMJ in Milwaukee, host of the Brewers pre- and post-game show, Matt Pauly. Matt, thank you for surviving all those prize giveaway reads. We're out of time. Matt, thank you. We're out of time. It was great talking to you. We'll catch up during the season. All right.
Yeah, I'm excited about what you guys are giving away there. It sounded good.
Just do we have to do it all at once? Apparently we do.
That's amazing.
So, Matt, it was right Wednesday as we were just about to go off the air for the holiday weekend when we learned about the Padres-Brewers trade. Luis Urias and Eric Lauer going to Milwaukee. Zach Davies and Trent Grisham coming to San Diego. What was your just initial reaction when you heard that deal?
It seemed like two teams that are planning to compete next year that were trying to fill some holes on each side. That's where trades are supposed to be in Major League Baseball. And that was my first inclination. I know the Padres had some needs that they were trying to fill there. And from a Brewers standpoint, they weren't real happy with what they were getting in the infield last year. So it's one of those trades that if all goes well, it should be able to help both teams.
Yeah, we kind of feel the same way. I mean, we don't know much about the guys that we're getting back, just like you guys probably don't know a heck of a lot about the guys that you're getting back. I love this idea of the information exchange, you know, between teams. So fill us in, though, on when you talk about the infield, because you guys do have some pretty good prospects in the infield. Luis Urias, by all reports, I don't know if you heard the same thing, expected to play shortstop for the Brewers. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, the organization was not happy with Orlando Arcia's offensive production this past year, and this is a guy who was one of the top prospects in the organization, but has been with the Brewers for a few years now, and just has been very inconsistent from an offensive standpoint. Defensively, he's one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball, but I don't know if he's going to be on the roster when spring training comes. It would not surprise me to see the Brewers maybe make another trade where they're able to spin off Arcia. I feel like maybe this trade with the Padres was the first of multiple moves that are going to be made here in the offseason, but they went in this offseason trying to clean things up at shortstop, and that's what they're hoping they're able to do with this move.
So you can look at the numbers on the back of the baseball card, and Woods, you know what I'm talking about. They tell a story, and an important one.
Sure.
But you can also watch a guy play and pitch throughout the year and form your own impressions. I'm curious about, Matt, your impressions about Zach Davies. The numbers are certainly good. The pitcher that the Padres are getting really good, actually, from last year. I mean, had a career season. But when you watch him through the year, what kind of pitcher would you describe him as?
Yeah, it's really simple with Zach Davies. When he has fastball command, he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. He doesn't always have his fastball command, and when he doesn't, that's when he runs into a little bit of trouble because he'll play his changeup off of his fastball, and his changeup is just a debilitating pitch when he does have the fastball going. Again, his fastball is going to hit 86, 87, 88 on a good day. So he's never going to throw it by you. But when he's got good control of his pitches, he'll throw a sinker in there as well. He can be really good. The problem is sometimes he runs into these bouts of inconsistency, and it has everything to do with him not controlling the pitches. I'm telling you, when this year with the Padres, on days that he has bad days, you're going to look at what he did, and you're going to see that he was not having command of the zone.
Such interesting stuff. I mean, such great insight to look forward to. We're talking to Matt Pauly, does Brewers pre- and post-game for WTMJ in Milwaukee. And now moving on to Trent Grisham. I mean, anybody that watched the playoffs, you know the name Trent Grisham. I remember...
Unfortunately,
yeah. I remember coming in the next morning and defending this kid and you know, having played baseball. He made the right play. He just didn't execute it the right way. But that was a do-or-die play that he made. And does that have anything to do with the fact that he was traded off? I did see fans on Twitter like, hey, we were never going to forgive him for that, and it's good that he's gone. What are your impressions of this kid? You've covered him.
Yeah, great kid. I don't think there's any connection between that play and the wild card game and him getting moved. You know, one of my favorite moments was he was emotionally affected by that. Clearly the winning run scored on that play, and he's a young guy. He's replacing Christian Yelich, and he was brought to emotion in the clubhouse after the game. And a lot of the team leaders, Mike Moustakas, Ryan Braun, they all went up to him after the game and kind of said a few words quietly. And then he stood up, and the media came in, and he answered every single question. He looked the reporters in the eyes.
He crushed it that night.
He's from a military family. He goes about his business in the right way, made some mechanical tweaks this past year going into his minor league season, added a little bit of power. I'm excited about him. Everybody who covers this team really likes him and wants to see him do well. And we're just hoping that what he did this past season, because it was a breakout year for him, to all of a sudden break through in the minor leagues and then get that opportunity because of the Christian Yelich injury. The one gamble there is, it's kind of a one-year sort of deal, right? Like, this isn't a track record. His minor league numbers were so-so up until this past season, even though he's with Top Prospect. But the mechanical adjustments he made before this past season really seemed to work, especially from a power standpoint.
Yeah, you make a good point. He is a former first-round draft pick, but it wasn't the traditional, you know, arc where the guy is, hey, he's just killing it from the second he gets to the minors and makes a quick rise up through the minor leagues. What were those struggles that he had before those tweaks, as you called them, this past year?
Yeah, you know what? He hasn't talked a whole lot about exactly what he's done. I think it's just some really small things, but it was the power is what really came. He was not hitting for any power. And then now the skeptics out there will say, well, at AAA this past year, they started using the Major League ball, and we know everything about how the Major League ball was supposedly juiced this past year. So they'll say that's where the power came from. But really, even at AA, he had a nice start to the season at AA, and that's what got him to AAA. And the power was the big thing. And once that power came along, all of a sudden, you really viewed him as a different kind of player.
Yeah, we're excited about him here. I mean, you know, I've seen some national pundits, you know, saying, well, he may be a fourth outfielder. Do you believe he's a guy that's a piece and a start, you know, in the starting nine? Do you think he's that for the Padres?
I think he will be. I don't know if he is right at the beginning
right.
of the season. He's still a young guy. I mean, he's got 50 games of major league experience. So I don't know if I assume the Padres are going to go into spring training and have him competing for a job. But I would be surprised if a year from now, 2 years from now, he is not an everyday outfielder.
You know, it's funny, Matt. The Brewers certainly seem like their window is still open. I mean, they're coming off a playoff appearance last year. Gotten word over the weekend that that Josh Hader could be on the trade market. What are the Brewers looking for, and what's kind of the impetus behind those reports in your mind?
Yeah, I think they want a lot. I would personally be surprised if they traded Hader. I wouldn't be shocked, but I would be surprised. He's coming up. This is his first year of being able to get arbitration money. So he's going to get a huge raise. He's probably going to get as big of a raise as anybody in all of baseball who's arbitration eligible. The Brewers are still a small market team. So when you're paying guys, you got to make that decision on, are they more valuable on the Brewers roster, or is it more valuable what you can possibly get back for them? If they were to trade Josh Hader, especially with the years of club control, it would be a haul. The minor league system for the Brewers is really struggling right now. They made a bunch of trades two seasons ago, especially going back to the Christian Yelich trade. So a trade with Josh Hader would have to, A, get you some big-time minor league prospects, and B, also bring you in players who can compete at the major league level. It would be a huge trade.
And I almost forgot, because it wasn't part of the trade,
right,
but Drew Pomeranz did have his resurgence those last couple of months with the Milwaukee Brewers out of their bullpen before the Padres signed him on Wednesday to a four-year deal. Talk about the small sample size turnaround. I mean, Drew Pomeranz had struggled badly before that. What did you see with him, and how shocked were you at that deal, and do you think the Padres are going to regret it, or are they getting a top-flight bullpen arm in your mind?
I think they're getting a really good bullpen arm. Look, this is a guy who he finally got the role. It was not maybe he'll be a starter, maybe he'll be a reliever. He was a relief pitcher. He was able to focus on being a relief pitcher. You don't have to throw as many pitches, you know, as far as assortment of pitches when you're just out there for an inning or so. I think if they keep him as a bullpen pitcher, I think he's going to be in really, really good shape as a bullpen arm.
Well, Matt, really appreciate it. I know there's still a lot of more moves coming up this offseason, but we'll certainly have a little extra intrigue when the Padres and Brewers square off in the 2020 season. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
You bet. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Matt Pauly, very cool pre- and post-game show host for Milwaukee Brewers Baseball.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.